Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me this morning to Acts 28, Acts chapter 28. New Year's Day is a day when a lot of people like to make resolutions. I won't ask you how many of you are making resolutions today. I don't typically make them. At best, they're in one year, out the other. Most of the time, our New Year's resolutions are out before Valentine's Day gets here. Did you hear about the overweight guy who hacked his fitness tracker? His wife made him make a New Year's resolution that he put in 10,000 steps a day. So on January the 2nd, he got up and showed her his smartwatch, and he already had a third of his steps in for the day. She was amazed. She thought it was the greatest thing in the world. So he went off to work, and he bragged to his buddies about it, but they weren't buying it. They said, "Man, how'd you do it?" He said, "Here's what I did. I put my smartwatch in the dryer. Before I even put my pants on, I had 3,800 steps in." Guys, if only our creativity could be channeled into constructive things, who knows what we might accomplish in 2023. I'm not big on resolutions, but I am big on reflection. This is a great time for taking stock of your spiritual life and making some decisions that will carry you into the new year. You know, today you will make decisions that will determine where you are next December. The sunset of your life is determined by the sunrise of your life. The end is determined by the beginning. So today, let's make some decisions we'll be proud of when we get to the beginning of 2024. I want to ask you this morning some questions to help you assess your spiritual progress over the last year. Let me ask you, are you a stronger Christian or a weaker Christian than you were this time last year? Have you really grown in your faith and as a follower of Christ? Let me ask you, are you where you want to be spiritually? Let me ask it another way. Do you have room to grow? Has anybody here arrived to the zenith of Christian maturity? No, even the Apostle Paul said, "I have not counted myself. I count not myself to have apprehended." None of us have arrived. We all have room to grow. Amen. Now, if you still have room to grow, and we all do, do you have any goals for growth in 2023? You know, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You know, I think every Christian ought to make a goal at the beginning of the year to read their Bible through in 2023. You can do that by reading only 3 chapters of the Bible every day, 5 or 10 minutes a day, and you can read the Bible through this year. I think you ought to make some goals in your prayer life, maybe a specific amount of time that you would like to pray. This year, I'm asking God for 100 specific answered prayers. I have never written down specific answers to prayer, but I'm going to do it this year. And at the end of 2023, I want to praise God for 100 specific answers to prayer. Make some goals in your prayer life. You want to set a goal for sharing the gospel with someone. Many years ago, I was asked in a service to make a goal to share my personal testimony with someone every week. And many weeks, I share the gospel more than once, but at least once a week, I share the gospel with someone. You know, this could be the year you finally lead your first soul to Christ. Why don't you make the decision today? This year, I'm going to share the gospel with the lost. Amen. I think you ought to set a goal to conquer a besetting sin. You know, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein, Paul asked. You know, this could be the year you conquer alcohol or drugs. This could be the year you conquer lust or immorality. This could be the year you conquer greed and become a generous person. Why don't you decide today is going to be a new beginning in your life? New Year's Day is a lot like the starting line of a long-distance race. You know, you don't win the race at the starting line, but you can't run the race if you don't start the race. Make today a new beginning in your walk with God, and next December, you'll be shocked how far you can run in the course of the year. So this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 28, and we're going to notice a new beginning in the life of the Apostle Paul. Look with me at Acts 28, verse number 11. "And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in Laodice, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as the Appii Forum and the 3 taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. The title of the message this morning is A New Beginning. You know, the month of January is named after the mythological god Janus. He was depicted as a man having two faces, one that looked backwards and one that looked forward. And it's only natural during the month of January that we would look back on the year that just passed, and then we would look forward into the year that lies ahead of us. Well, the Apostle Paul did just that in Acts chapter 28. The verses that we just read mark an ending in his life and also a beginning in his life. His life traveling the world and starting churches was by and large over. His new life under house arrest at Rome was just beginning. As Paul approached the city of Rome, and as he was met by believers who came to escort him into the city, he had two reactions to his new beginning. Number one, he looked back and thanked God. Number two, he looked forward and he took courage. Ladies and gentlemen, a new year brings the opportunity to write a brand new chapter in the story of your life. 2022 is over. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be subtracted from it. What is written is written. Ahead of us are 365 blank pages for us to write what we will. And if you want to make the most of those pages, I suggest that you adopt the approach of the Apostle Paul. Let's thank God for what has happened behind us, but then let's look forward and take courage for the challenges and opportunities God has ahead of us. Amen. I want you to notice in the first place a backward look. A backward look. Paul looked back and he thanked God. You know, some people live in the past. I don't want to live in the past. How about you? You know, when your memories of the past are greater than your dreams of the future, you are well nigh dead. I don't want to live in the past, but I do want to look at the past from time to time. I like what Jim Shetler said the last time he was preaching here. There are only two reasons to look at your past. Number one, to remember the lessons God taught you. And number two, to remember the love God showed you. And as we look back at 2022, we learned some lessons and God showed us a lot of love. We should thank God. Now, as the Apostle Paul finally made his way to Rome, a wave of gratitude came over him, Luke tells us. He thanked God. He was thankful for all that had transpired over the many years to get him to this place. If you know the story, it wasn't an easy journey for the Apostle Paul to come to Rome. He endured beatings and arrest, shipwrecks, even a snake bite. But as he looked back, even over a painful past, he thanked God for everything that had brought him to the present. A painful past brought him to a new beginning. Some of the most fruitful years of his ministry were ahead of him, and he couldn't have gotten to Rome without the painful things that brought him there. So it is with us. If you're like most people, the last few years have come with their fair share of pain, and perhaps even more. Maybe you lost someone in the pandemic. Maybe you've struggled with mental health or depression. Maybe you're struggling to stay afloat in this economy. You know, I think there are a lot of people who wondered if they would even make it to 2023. Well, congratulations, folks. You made it. Amen. And a painful past has brought you to a new beginning, a new day, a new week, a new year. All the pain in the past was to bring you to the present, and this could be the year you come to your Rome. This is the thing that brought you to all that God has in store for you. So as Paul looked back, he thanked God. Why did he thank God? I think there were some specific reasons in his heart and mind that day. Number one, he thanked God for prayers answered. For prayers answered. Coming to Rome was the number one prayer request on Paul's prayer list. I want you to turn back, or just forward, excuse me, one page. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. Look at verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Amen. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, the city of Rome represented the furthest frontier of the gospel mission. It was the most powerful, influential city in the ancient world, and Paul wanted to conquer it for Christ. So many years before, he had written a letter to the church at Rome and said, I long to see you. It is number one on my prayer list. I want to come and preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And as Paul that day approaches the city of Rome and sees the great city in the horizon, he thanks God for answering his prayers. I want to ask you a personal question this morning. Do you have a Rome? What dream or challenge is driving you to your knees and putting passion in your prayer life? What's the next frontier in your life? What's the next frontier in your home and in your ministry? Parents, what are you praying that God will do in the hearts of your children this year? Sunday school teachers, what do you want God to do in the hearts of the people that you teach week in and week out? What is your Rome? What's the next frontier for you? What are you asking God to do in 2023 that only He could do? You see, the Bible says that God hears and answers prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Bible says that if we ask anything in the name of Christ, in other words, in accordance with the will of Christ, then we will have it. God answered a lot of prayers in 2022, and I'm thankful for the ones that He answered, and I'm looking forward to what He's going to do in 2023. How about you? Paul thanked God for prayers answered. I noticed this. He thanked God for promises kept. For promises kept. You see, for Paul, the journey to Rome was about a three-year process. And there were several places along the journey when it looked unlikely that he would even make it there. If you remember, twice along the way, the Lord appeared to Paul and promised him that he would in fact make it to Rome. Once when he was jailed in Jerusalem and almost lynched, and once when he was on a storm-tossed sea, fearing a shipwreck. So as Paul comes and sees Rome in the distance, he was reminded that along the way, God had made him some promises. It looked doubtful and unlikely at certain points that those promises would be kept. But as Paul approached that city, he was reminded of the fact that God keeps His promises. Amen. You know, ladies and gentlemen, people sometimes fail to keep their word to us. But when it comes to God, a promise made is always a promise kept. And that gives me a lot of confidence going into the new year. How about you? I like what the Puritan Thomas Brooks said. Satan promises the best but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death. But God pays as He promises. And His promises are made in pure gold. And I can tell you this, 2022 wasn't the easiest year for me, but God kept every promise in His word. And I know He's going to keep His promises as we go forward into a new year. So Paul thanked God for prayers answered. Did you have answered prayers last year? Amen. Paul thanked God for promises kept. Did God keep His promises to you? Amen. Then let's thank God. I want you to notice this. Paul thanked God for progress achieved. For progress achieved. Go back to our text, Acts chapter 28. Look again at verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as the Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. I highlighted in my Bible that phrase, whom when Paul saw. What specific incident was it that triggered this gratitude in the heart of the Apostle Paul? It was when he saw these Roman believers coming outside of the city to meet him. Some met him at the Appii Forum. Scholars tell us that was 43 miles from the city of Rome. Some met him at the Three Taverns. That was 33 miles from the city of Rome. As Paul was entering Rome as a prisoner, no Caesar ever had a finer escort into the city of Rome than the Apostle Paul had by those Roman Christians. As we said before, 3 years previous, Paul had written a letter to the church at Rome. We know it as the Book of Romans. And in that letter, he had told them about the glory of the gospel. He wanted them to understand the gospel and to stand for the gospel and to spread the gospel. And as he looked up and saw those believers coming, a wave of gratitude overwhelmed his soul because they had gotten the message. They were not ashamed to be publicly identified with the gospel. They were not ashamed to be publicly identified even with the chains of the Apostle Paul. He had written a letter. He had made an investment. And that investment was paying off because Christians were standing for the gospel. Amen. It's a wonderful thing when along the trail of life, God allows us from time to time to see just a few of the fruits of our labor. Yes, Paul for sure had his share of Demases who forsook him, but thank God there were some who stood and were not ashamed. A few months ago, I got an unexpected phone call from a young man by the name of Noah. When Noah was 16 years old, I was the youth pastor here at church, and I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. He was saved, and he wanted to attend church, and he really wanted me to personally disciple him. The only problem was that he lived 45 minutes away in Lake Worth. So every Sunday afternoon, I'd leave my home in Burleson at 3 o'clock, and I'd take that white van up to Lake Worth, and I'd pick Noah up. We'd get to the church by 5 o'clock. We'd start our discipleship time. We'd come to church. I'd fellowship after church a while, and then I'd take him home, usually not arriving home until 9 o'clock in the evening. Noah came from a broken home, and he had a rough background. His great ambition in life was to be a comedian. And I'll never forget, he had done the talent show at his school, and he had a tape of some of the jokes that he told me. We put them on in the church van, and I had to turn it off. It was some of the most raunchy jokes I'd ever heard in my life. He had a lot of room to grow. I only had the privilege of working with Noah for a couple of years. He graduated and moved to California with his mom so he could get his big break in comedy. It just so happened that his mom lived down the street from another independent Baptist church, a wonderful church. Noah started attending that church, and they continued his discipleship. A few months ago, he was back in town, and he said, "Brother Tyler, I want to take you out for lunch." He set me down at a barbecue restaurant, and he said, "I want you to know I'm so thankful you led me to Christ. And I'm so thankful you made that investment and drove all those miles so you could disciple me." He said, "I've been wondering something, Pastor." He said, "Could it be that God gave me a passion to stand in front of people because I'm really supposed to stand in front of people and preach the gospel to them?" And I said, "Noah, it is more than possible. It's probable." And right then and there, we bowed our head and we thanked God for every mile in that white van that brought that young man to the place where he'd surrendered to gospel ministry. Can I tell you something, folks? If you want to praise God for tomorrow's harvest, you have to plant a seed today. And thank God for the impact that the gospel will make if we will only plant a seed. So as we look back over 2022, we see prayers answered. We see promises kept. We see progress achieved in the lives of those who have gotten the message and gone on for God and who are standing unashamed for the gospel. We thank the Lord today. We bless his holy name. So Paul looked back and he thanked God. But here's the real message for us today as we head into a new year. As he looked toward Rome and all the challenges and opportunities that were ahead of him, the Bible says he took courage. If there's one thing God's people need as we go into 2023, it is a large helping of good old-fashioned Christian courage. Amen. I want you to look at that verb. It says he thanked God and he what? He took courage. As Paul entered Rome, there were plenty of reasons to be afraid. He was in chains. He knew he faced house arrest. He had an appointment with that madman Nero who dipped Christians in pitch and lit them as living torches in his garden and sent them to the Colosseum to be torn apart by lions. There was a lot for Paul to be afraid of as he thought about going into the city of Rome, but the Bible says instead of letting fear take him, Paul took courage. Let me tell you something. As we enter a new year, we have to take courage or fear will take us. Christian, take courage. Amen. There are always reasons for the Christian to take courage. What are some of the things that gave the Apostle Paul courage that day? Well, I notice this. He took courage from the presence of the saints. The presence of the saints gave Paul courage that day. When he saw those believers and he fellowshiped with them, and he observed that they were willing to live for Christ unashamed in the city of Rome, Paul got courage from them. Can I remind you of something? Courage is contagious. You get a little courage and it'll rub off on the person next to you. And when the person next to me has a little courage, it gives me a little courage. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now that's a Baptist pastor's favorite verse because it says God's people ought to be in church. And we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together because when we come to church, we have a ministry of exhortation. That word exhort is a beautiful Bible word. It literally means to come alongside of. That same word is often used to describe the Holy Spirit and His comforting ministry. It has the idea of encouraging someone so they can keep going. And I want to challenge you. You've made a great decision on the first Sunday of 2023. There are only 51 Sundays left. Be faithful to church this year. There are going to be some Sundays when you are awful down and discouraged and you need someone to come alongside of you, encourage you to press on and keep going for God. And there are going to be some Sundays when the person sitting down the pew from you is down and discouraged and they need you to put an arm around them and encourage them to press on and keep going for God. Amen. Jackie Robinson had a lot of courage. He was the first man to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Jackie Robinson was also a committed Christian. One day, Robinson was playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn, and he committed an error. The crowd booed him mercilessly, much more than they booed the other players. Many were shouting racial slurs at him. As the crowd was cursing him, one of his teammates, Pee Wee Reese, came over, and he stood next to Robinson. He put his arm around him, and he faced the crowd, and the fans instantly grew quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. You know, folks, we may not be the Apostle Paul. We may not be Jackie Robinson. We can be a Pee Wee Reese. We can be an unnamed Roman Christian who shows up with an outstretched arm and an encouraging words and puts courage in someone else. Courage is contagious. I'd like someone to catch it from me this year. How about you? Paul took courage from the presence of the saints. I notice this, he took courage from the power of the Spirit. The greatest source of strength and courage is God Himself. Paul told the church at Ephesus, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Remember in Joshua chapter 1, he was awful afraid of taking over from Moses. You remember what the Lord said to him? He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Ladies and gentlemen, true courage is not the absence of fear. It is the willingness to proceed in spite of fear because you believe that God is with you. And God is with you, believer, as you go into 2023. Take courage. Amen. Paul needed courage for an uncertain future. See, again, he was not coming into Rome as a free man. He was coming as a prisoner. And for all he knew, Paul would never leave the city of Rome alive. But listen to what he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 and 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's courage, isn't it? When ancient map makers would chart the regions beyond their furthest discovered lands, they would often write, beyond this, there may be dragons. They weren't saying that there was a dragon there, only that there may be dragons there. They were afraid of the unknown. Well, if the last few years have taught us anything, is that the future is unknowable. It's impossible for us to tell what the next year will hold for us. I don't know what 2023 will hold for you. It may be a year of blessing. There may be dragons there. And if your goal in life is self-pleasure or self-preservation, you have every reason to be afraid of the unknown. But if your goal in life is to magnify Christ in your body, whether it be by life or death, you have no reason to be afraid because to live is Christ and to die is gain. So this morning you can take courage for an uncertain future. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we do know, thank God, who holds tomorrow, and He is with us. Paul took courage from the power of the Spirit. Courage for an uncertain future. Notice this, courage for an unstoppable mission. Oh, the years ahead in the ministry of the Apostle Paul were years of great blessing. Now, as we read in Romans chapter 1, Paul always had dreams of coming to Rome. And he had dreams of coming there as a free man, as a preacher. And he thought he would stand up in the city center of Rome and he would preach the gospel and thousands would come to Christ and there would be a great revival that broke loose in the city. Paul's dreams did not come to fruition, at least in the way that he imagined, because he entered Rome not as a preacher, but as a prisoner. And you know, when life doesn't go the way that we expect it to go, we often get bitter, don't we? I'm glad the Apostle Paul didn't get bitter. I'm glad that he didn't sit under house arrest and sulk and give up on God and give up on his ministry. I'm glad that he used his problems as a platform for the gospel. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 28. Look with me, if you will. We're going to look at verse number 21. That's the wrong verse, 23. And when they had appointed unto him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law and Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. The Apostle Paul had not been in the city of Rome for 3 days when under house arrest, he called the Jews in the city of Rome to come to his house. Guess what he did? He preached the gospel to them. Look at how the book of Acts ends. Look at verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul's problems and Paul's prison became a platform for the gospel. He would later write to the church at Philippi that all the saints in Caesar's household saluted them. We read about it earlier in the passage, 24 hours a day. Remember, Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. You know what we call that? A captive audience. And one by one, Paul led those Roman soldiers to Christ. And the gospel spread like wildfire through Caesar's army and through Caesar's own household, not through a revival campaign, but through the chains of the Apostle Paul. He wrote in Philippians chapter 1, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And here's a question we all need to ask this morning. Will the things that happen to you this year just happen to you? Or will you leverage them for the furtherance of the gospel? The Apostle Paul reminds us trials can't stop the spread of the gospel. Persecution can't stop the spread of the gospel. The devil himself can't stop the spread of the gospel. The only thing that can stop the spread of the gospel is when someone who knows the gospel lacks the courage to give it to somebody else. If we will take courage this year, nothing will stop the spread of the gospel in the city of Fort Worth, Texas. So as we look back, let's thank God for what he did in our lives and in our church. But as we look forward, let's take courage. Christian, take courage. Moses took courage and he stood before Pharaoh. David took courage and he stood before Goliath. Jesus took courage in the garden and he went to the cross. The Apostle Paul took courage and he went to Rome. This year there are sins for you to conquer, giants for you to slay, and a city for us to take for Christ. Christian, take courage today, or fear will take you. The hymn writer said, it may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Christian, would you come today here in just a moment and thank God for bringing you to a new beginning, a brand new year, a brand new opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel? Tell him, today I take the courage that you have made available to me. I know you'll keep your promises. I know you'll answer prayer. I'm recommitting my life to you in 2023, and I'm going to take a Rome for you this year with your help and by your grace. Amen. We've talked today about a new beginning. Can I tell you this? The most important new beginning a person can ever have is the new beginning of salvation. And if you are not yet a believer, God wants to give you a new beginning like you can never imagine. He wants to forgive your sins, to separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. If you don't yet know Christ, he wants to give you a brand new life. in a brand new home in heaven with him. And I can't think of a better day in all of the year than New Year's Day to give your life to Christ and let him give you a new life. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul as he came to a new beginning in his life. He thanked God for all that you had done to bring him to that place. And then he took courage and marched with boldness into his Rome. And oh Lord, how this message has helped us and encouraged us today. Help us to do the same. Lord, if there is someone here this morning without Christ, I pray they'd give their life to you. What a wonderful day to do that. Give them a new beginning in life and in eternity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody here who would say this morning, Pastor Gillett, I'm not sure I've ever given my life to Jesus Christ. I'm not sure I've ever recognized I'm a sinner, separated from God, lost, and on my way to hell. I'm not sure I've ever recognized that Jesus died for me, that he rose again the third day, that the way to heaven is by simple faith in him. Today, I'd like to give my life to Christ, and I want him to give me a brand new life. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, but that's the prayer of your heart as you enter a new year, would you lift your hand with mine? I want to give my life to Christ today. I've never done that, and I want him to give me a new life. I want him to go with me in 2023. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? Whether you're here in the auditorium or watching online, the way of salvation is very simple. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right where you are in this auditorium, or perhaps watching online, you could pray a very simple prayer like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't go to heaven on my own. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose again. I'm turning from my sins. I'm putting all my faith in your Son. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new life and a home in heaven. And if you would pray a prayer like that from the sincerity of your heart, you have the assurance of God's word today. He would hear that prayer. He answers that prayer, and you could be saved today. If you're in the auditorium and you prayed a prayer like that in your heart to the Lord, just lift your hand with me. I want to rejoice with you on this first day of the new year. I prayed and asked Jesus to save me, and I'm not ashamed of it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. If you're watching online, I hope you'll leave us a comment on YouTube or Facebook or the way that you're watching and let us know you prayed that prayer on the first day of 2023. You trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. How many of you would say, as I look back over my 2023, yes, there were some challenges. Yes, there were some trials. But there were a lot of answered prayers. And there were a lot of promises kept. And there was some progress in my life and in the lives of others. And as I look back, I have a determination this morning. I'm going to thank God for all that he did. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? Oh, that ought to be the hand of most every Christian in this room. How many of you would say, as we go into a brand new year, if courage is available to me, and it is, then I'm going to take it. And I'm going to ask God for a Rome this year. I'm going to take courage and go forward. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? God bless you. And perhaps you'd like to seal that this morning with a trip down to the altar. Come today, Christian. Recommit your life to Christ. Commit this year to him. Father, we pray that you'd work in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.